Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am the fantasy football winner, champion of the Council of Man, sitting here next to the batting 500 man, David Niles.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's just in my humility that I decided to take the middle road. Perfectly moderate.
Just
not a winning record, not a losing record.
Just even kill.
Right down the middle.
Very good. Well, I won. I decided to win. I defied all odds.
You did defy all odds. Like, I thought for sure Jim Finster was just going to...
I mean, he was killing everybody.
Clean up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All year. It was, Jim scored 120 points. Everybody else got 60 or 70.
Right. But I defied all odds. It's a virtue. It's called fortitude. Maybe you can learn a little bit about it.
So, let me get this straight. It's because of your virtue that you won at fantasy football. It had nothing to do with the performance of the players on the field.
It was my pep talks.
It was you.
It was me.
And your personal performance in your own virtue. I see.
And now we are all on the same page.
I see.
Yes.
Well, I also won my work league.
But nobody cares about that.
But you know what the thing is? At work, we played for money. Okay.
So you definitely care about that.
Yeah. So.
Well, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, I am Adam Minahan, sitting here with David Niles.
We have a gallery today.
We do have a gallery today. We have Mr. Juan Posada. Cheers to Juan. We had our friends Christmas.
Yes.
That's what you call it?
Sure.
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You know, we all have families, and that's a busy time of the year, and we all want to hang out together for Christmas, and so we kind of move our Christmas
to later
octave of Christmas.
Yeah.
Day of Christmas.
As of this recording, it's still in the Christmas season.
Correct. So we enjoyed dinner night. We had some swine and wine.
Totally.
We had a delicious ham.
Super good.
And a little glass of wine, and we had some Lafroy carried us 2017.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because this is big news, I think, but that is officially my new favorite whiskey.
Well, we'll probably have to review it on another episode. We're not doing it today,
though. We're not going to do it today, but it's my favorite.
It's very, very good.
It was just mind-blowing.
Juan was hanging out with us, and we said, well, Juan, we have to record tonight. Do you want to just come hang out with us? And he definitely agreed and brought a whiskey, so it was a win for everybody.
Yeah, a good whiskey, too.
Yeah, very good whiskey.
Balvenie Doublewood, 12-year.
Yes. So, if this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, we do three things every episode. We open. There it is. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight the virtue of temperance. Drinking in moderation. Moderation looks different for everybody. We salute every man who knows thyself, whether it be that moderation looks like nothing to them, having zero amount of alcohol, mm-hmm. or whether it is enjoying a nice glass of whiskey or beer or something with friends. So that's the first thing that we do.
And the man who knows how to say, you know what, I've had enough chocolate Buckeyes for one day. That man is a strong man. Have you ever had a Buckeye? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know if I've had one.
It's like creamy peanut butter covered in chocolate.
Oh, yeah, I have had that. And it's delicious.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like cake balls as well.
Dude, cake balls. Dude, one time I watched you. Do you remember that?
I did
not. Right out of college?
I did not.
We were sitting on the couch, and yes. You ate like 15 cake balls.
In one sitting.
In one. I mean, I remember how many it was, but I remember I had four or something, and I remember thinking, if I ate more of these, I'd throw up. And I just sat there. It was, you were like Cool Hand Luke with those with those cake balls, man.
Mm. Well,
I forgot about that.
Moderation looks different for everybody. The second thing we do on the Catholic Man Show is we highlight a man gear.
You're gonna scandalize every single person who's listening to you.
We highlight a man gear.
You
in
were
the second.
Sinful with those cake balls.
I was not sinful with those cake balls.
You gluttonous.
I was not. I was not. I
Dude,
was not
15 cake balls or 20, however many you had.
Well, you were the one counting.
That was enough. That was enough calories for like 6 days.
Well. I may not have.
Of human,
I fasted the next.
No, you did not.
You do not know.
I do know.
You do not know.
I'm pretty sure I do.
Pull that beam out of your eye.
I'm pretty sure I do. Look, I'm not.
Hey, can I get on with what we do on the show?
Admit that 15 cake balls is too many cake balls.
For a normal person, it absolutely is too many.
And are you a normal person?
I'm finished with that statement. The second thing we do on the Catholic Man Show.
Let me just say, Santa Claus is watching
it
you.
Doesn't matter. I have plenty of time to make up for it.
That's a good attitude. Just go ahead and pursue.
Can I get on?
Fine.
The second thing we
go
do
ahead.
On the Catholic Man Show is we highlight a man gear, something that every guy should own or want or desire, and why it is a manly thing, why it exemplifies virtue. Hopefully it ties into our topic, which is the third thing we do. We talk about. Whatever Dave and I decide we want to talk about.
Cake balls.
We're not talking about cake balls today. However, so this show is sponsored by the Juan Posada because he kindly gave us the Belvini Double Wood 12-year that we are drinking out of wood Glencairn glasses that you got me for my birthday this year.
Christmas.
Yeah, it was a birthday Christmas. Even though my birthday's in June, Christmas is in December.
Turned out to just be a bigger investment than I had originally
bargained
realized.
For.
Cheers, gentlemen.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
And Juan, give Juan a toast.
And to Juan Posada, Juan, your generosity overwhelms me. May the Lord be equally generous in his mercy at your judgment.
Amen.
I also want to say amen after toasting sometimes, but it's weird. It's kind of a natural, like... Amen.
Was that appropriate?
Did I bless you?
I'm not
Can
sure.
I do that?
Yeah, because that was very close to more of a prayer than a toast.
When people sneeze, I don't say God bless you. Because I can't do that because I'm not the Lord.
However, you do say, may God bless you and have mercy on your soul. Yeah. Which makes it very awkward for some people who don't know you.
I do like to do that. God bless you. And may he have mercy on your soul.
I hope that catches on.
When I do that to people, they get this very serious look on their face and they either say one of two things. They say, like, thank you. Or they'll say, I hope he does. But either way, they have the same wide-eyed, serious look.
Either way, they're starting to think of their mortality.
Like, do you think maybe he won't? I don't know. But I pray he does because of your sneeze.
But he is just.
Yes.
And merciful. Okay, so let's talk about this whiskey really fast.
Let me do it. I'm going to do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I'm the big picture guy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
You're Adam Minahan, a.k.a. The Tongue.
This is like what Father O'Brien looks forward to every episode is me giving my tasting
notes.
So
you've got a glass over there, Mr.
Yes.
Tongue.
Yes.
I will read off the bottle. Any Yahoo can read off the bottle.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is the double wood.
Yes.
Which means it's aged in two barrels.
Okay.
Two different. So it started off in a typical scotch barrel, which is actually a used bourbon barrel. The first cask is, from the bottle, it seems like most of the years are spent in this traditional whiskey oak, which mellows the maturing spirit and imparts gentle, warming layers of vanilla spices. Then, further maturation in European oak sherry casks increases the complexity, bringing fruity, honey depths. Hmm. Ooh, there are depths of honey. Honeyness to the resulting single malt.
The vanilla is very overpowering at the very beginning. It's very sweet. It's a very sweet up at the front.
Sherry casks tend to do that.
Well, okay. Yeah, but I'm getting more of the vanilla up front. The sherry almost is at the end, at least for me.
It is.
The finish.
You're right. Yeah.
The sherry is towards the end. It's a very wine type of almost aftertaste. Mm-hmm. At least in my opinion. Juan, do you agree, or what are your thoughts?
Long finish.
It is definitely a
long finish.
A long finish. It is okay, so I would definitely suggest this to somebody who is just getting into the Scotch game.
Mm-hmm. Cuz it is complex. You're right. They're right about that.
Somebody who has enjoyed bourbon for a while maybe, and has decided I want to try a Scotch.
Yeah.
Belvini Double Wood 12 Year would be a great one to start because there's no PD, there's no smoke.
Yeah.
It is very sweet on the front. There's a little bit of sherry and the oakiness at the end.
Uh-huh.
But there's no bite. There's no peppercorn. There's no aggression. It's very mellow, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree. And yeah, it is vanilla at the front.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if this is anything to do with it, but vanilla, the sweeter flavors are more of a front of the tongue sense. Mm-hmm. The back of the tongue is more of the bitter.
Yeah, I've heard that. We learned that in school, but I think people have dispelled that.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, as far as I know, it's still true.
Thank you to Juan Posada for bringing this for us to try. A delicious Scotch. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. As we said, we're in studio today. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this is easily the best podcast I've ever heard in my life. What can I do to promote podcasts like this? The intensity of the manliness is overwhelming in the best way possible. Well, I've got the answer to your question. You, my friend, you, sir, need to join the Council of Man. The Council of Man is a select group of above average individuals who would like to support the show by donating $10 a month. Those contributions are tax deductible, and I know that you just got a tax break. That's awesome. Personally, I love tax breaks.
Big fan.
I hate paying taxes.
Yeah.
I pay them.
Only because we give to Caesar what is due to Caesar.
Right.
Because we listen to the Lord.
But I would prefer to owe less. Anyway, you should support us. Go to thecatholicmanshow.com, click on the Council of Man button, says COM, and you can sign up to donate $10 a month. We will send you a Glencairn glass, which has our signature logo on it, laser etched with lasers. Mm-hmm. And you will be officially added to the Council of Man Facebook page where all things awesome take place on the internet. Anyway,
and we give extra content.
Extra content. Yep. Yep, 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 yep. So, anyway, join the Council of Man, CatholicManshow.com.
We're going to be at End of the Breach Conference this year in Phoenix. If you are in the Phoenix area, we have a lot of listeners in Phoenix. We have a lot of listeners
Arizona. It's kind of like a hot spot for us.
Uh-huh. We do. We have a lot of listeners there.
A lot of manliness down in Phoenix.
A lot of... Bishop Olmsted is got it going on.
He has really bumped up the lever.
Yeah, so... If you're thinking, hey, I don't even know what these guys are talking about, one thing you can do, go to SoundCloud and type in Into the Breach. You can get for free, listen to the End of the Breach Apostolic Exhortation by Bishop Olmsted. It is a call for men to holiness, to get into the breach, and fight the good fight.
They also have a sweet YouTube video.
They do have a sweet YouTube video.
A lot of epic background music.
Yeah. Get you jacked up.
What man doesn't like epic background music?
True. If you don't have tickets to that conference, They're already sold out, so I apologize.
Do they sell out in an hour or something?
They sold out within the day. I don't know the time frame, but they sold out within the day.
However, seemed like they sold out in minutes is
Dave,
what it seemed
you
like.
You and I are going to be there to give a live stream. We're going to be giving a live stream.
If you're one of the everybody who didn't get tickets because you had something to do when the first few minutes of tickets came available, don't worry. Never fear. Adam and I will be doing our own private live stream for all those not in attendance. And so we won't be able to do the talks per se, but we will be interviewing the speakers after their talks. We'll be interviewing other dudes.
Live interviews on the streets.
Yeah, if we see somebody, we're like, hey, you look manly. Come here.
Come here. Get over here.
Let me talk to you.
Go to cmfp.org.
Catholic Men's
Fellowship of Phoenix.
Catholic Men's Fellowship of Phoenix. cmfp.org.
And you'll be able to catch our live stream there.
Anywho. We need to talk about the man gear.
Let's do it.
I like the man gear that you chose for today, Adam.
Thank you. I've actually been wanting to do it for a long time. Dude, we have a really bad habit of saying a bunch of man gears, never writing them down, thinking that we're always going to remember them.
Dude.
And yes, never remembering them.
We do this. I'll be driving and think of something we could use as a man gear. And I'll say to myself, that is so obvious. There's no way I forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I haven't pulled the trigger on it. Forgot about it. However, today I remembered that I wanted to do this.
A lot of planning that we do.
Right. Today's man gear is a chessboard. I feel like that every man needs a chessboard. I personally...
Or at least knows how to play.
Or at least, yeah, maybe know how to play. I don't actually have a... full disclosure, I don't have a chessboard yet. However, I'm in the market for one, and I'm contemplating making my own chessboard.
That would be cool. I have two, so... I'll let you borrow one until.
Okay, that would be
yours
great.
Yours is finished.
I used to be a big chess player.
Really?
Fun fact. Yeah. So my dad, when I was when I was in fourth grade.
Okay, grade school.
Grade school. When I was in fourth grade, my dad set me down and said, "Son, it's time to learn how to play chess." And I was excited about it because up until that point, I'd been playing backgammon with him. And I kind of liked that game, but I thought, I knew that chess was the next level. Like, I knew that checkers was that's what you play when you're really little.
It's kid stuff.
Backgammon is the next step in between checkers and chess. At least that's how it was with me. And then chess was the gentleman's game.
Yes, it is that is true. It is like the gentleman's game.
And so he taught me.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of dads out here that are listening. There's a lot of dads that are listening with their kids right now. And I think that it is a great opportunity to teach your kids how to play chess. I think that there's so much to be learned from chess. Deacon Kevin Sartorius here in the Tulsa Diocese, he's the executive director of the Catholic Charities here. He has several sons, and they all play chess together.
Excellent.
They play like a round, I don't know if it's a round robin, or tournament, a chess tournament together, and it's a big deal. But what it does is it gets you away from the TV, it gets you away from cell phones, and it's a game that requires focus,
mm-hmm.
something that is very lacking in today's society. The only way to be able to get focused or to gain focus, I don't know, to increase your ability to focus,
yes.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Sure.
Is to practice it,
mm-hmm.
and to push yourself through that.
Yeah.
Chess is a great opportunity.
It's also a good length.
It's a strategy game.
Like Monopoly is fun, but nobody ever wants to play.
3 hours into Monopoly, everybody's like,
"That's right,
I'm done.
Because
I'm out."
You can't, it takes days to win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Days. Mm-hmm. Maybe years.
I'm still playing a game from 2011.
It's ridiculous.
And
it's a fun game.
Boardwalk, still, no one's hit Boardwalk yet. I thought, that's bullcrap.
Yeah, you got two hotels. Do you know how much those hotels cost me?
Yeah. And
you better land on that space.
Right. Go to jail.
And if you do, game over. It's like,
get to jail.
Finally, you owe me everything.
Right.
Anyway, chess is a good length.
Mm-hmm.
It can be quick. It can be drawn out, but it's never too long.
Right.
And if you're sitting there playing, you can I'll make a move, you make a move, we'll come back. You can draw it out, but if you sit down and play a game, it should be over in 15 minutes.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I've seen some really long chess games.
Yeah, me too. But, most of the time, they're going to be over in about 15 minutes.
Sure. Chess started in the about the 7th century in India, is where it originated from.
India, huh?
Yeah.
I would have guessed Europe.
From other games, like other strategy games.
Okay.
But it really took hold, I think, in like maybe the 16th, 17th century in Europe. It was a prestigious game.
Yeah.
That, you know, people, it was like a war strategy game.
Well, it's the game of kings.
A game of kings.
When you told me the man gear, I was like, ooh, this would have been also good last week when we talked about kingship.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's like a, just keep the theme going of kings.
And our topic today is really good with patience,
mm-hmm.
which you have to have. Mm-hmm. With chess, this is one game that you can't, you know, go all out at the very beginning and lose all strategy. Like if you go all out at the very beginning and are not patient and developing the strategy and developing what each piece does and controlling the middle of the board, you're gonna be in trouble.
So important, I think, for kids to know games like chess teaches them to take risks, appropriate mm-hmm. risks, and it's just a good way of learning. What is too much risk to take? What's not, you know, what should be taking more?
Yeah, there's a lot of literature that's been written on chess. Benjamin Franklin wrote something on the morals of chess, which I thought was interesting.
Really?
In 1750. But he said there's three things that you can learn from chess. Foresight in chess, which looks into, what is that, futurity? What is that? Futurity?
I think it's futurity. Futurity.
Anyway, the as future. The basically, future, the yeah. future. I didn't know how to pronounce it.
It is a funky word, man.
But the second thing is circumspection. And the third thing is caution, which I think is all really great things to learn that we have not in this day and age. We're not excelling in that.
Yeah. So you also learn strategery.
That's a great word.
Yeah.
Of all words, that's a great one.
Strategery. So I have a fun story about chess.
Okay.
This is at summer camp back when I was in the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Andrew Smith and I, we were bunking together, and I taught him. I had a chess board with me because I had been playing chess. I was into chess at the time, and so I was like, hey, let's play chess. He didn't know. He's like, I'll teach you. This would mm-hmm. be great. So mm-hmm. I taught him. Here's all the pieces move. We played a game. I defeated him easily.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. This mm-hmm. was his first game to play. The second game I won, but not so easily.
Right.
I lost the third game.
Wow.
And I never beat him again.
Wow. You never beat him again?
Ever.
And you're a decent...
And I'm a decent chess player.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, a few years later, he moves away to Wyoming, wins the Wyoming State Championship of wow. chess.
And you taught him.
And I taught him. So it was like, for years, man. Oh, yeah? Well, I taught the best chess player in Wyoming how to play chess, all right? So you could just take that to the bank.
Yeah. Put that in your pipe and yeah. smoke it.
As I place that feather in my cap.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Queen B6.
It was really funny, because after that, Andrew is a super smart guy. Yeah, very intelligent.
Yeah, I remember that dude.
Anyway.
I wonder whatever happened to him.
Anyway. I think he like does computers now somewhere.
I don't like how computers have gotten so involved with chess. No, I don't know how you feel about this.
Well, you can't beat the computer anymore.
You can't beat him anymore.
No.
But I don't like that.
Even the average computer app, you're not going to beat. If
right.
you put it on hard.
Right. Anyway, I think it's a great game. I think you should teach your sons. And it keeps your mind focused. Keeps your mind fresh.
Totally.
So anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man topic. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Juan.
And to Jesus.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. A beautiful coined phrase by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI as he raised a German beer that was a light beer, but still a German beer, and we took it from him.
Was it a light beer or was it just a Pilsner?
Well, I guess it was probably, I don't even know if it was a Pilsner, actually. It may have just been a lager.
Could have been a lager.
It's probably a lager. Anyway, we took that phrase from him. That's not something that we made up.
We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.
Right.
Yeah.
He did that.
He said that. Totally.
But this is the third.
You know why he said it? Because it's true. It's true. Gosh darn it.
It is accurate.
As is everything that Pope Benedict says.
I haven't found something that
is... He's a razor sharp guy. He and JP2 are akin in their razor sharpness.
I have this gut feeling that 70, 80, 100, 200 years from now...
Doctor of the church?
He'll be a doctor of the church.
Totally. Now, I don't even think it'll... I don't know how long it'll take. I'd be surprised if it takes that long.
I have this gut feeling. Anyway, this is the segment where we jump into the man topic. We're drinking Balvenie Double Wood 12-year... Brought to you by the one and only Juan Posada.
Juan Pablo
Posada.
Posada.
John Paul Posada.
I'm going to start calling you Juan Pablo from now on.
Please do.
Why? I don't know why it's taking me this long.
The man gear today was a chessboard, playing chess, which
you need a chessboard
to play.
Or a did, you know.
A digi.
As Juan pointed out over the break, you can play online or via apps, that is fine.
Let's figure out an app and start playing with people.
We should have an official Council of Man app.
That would be cool.
Chess game.
That would be very cool.
I wonder if you can play it literally on Facebook. I wonder if Facebook has a built-in chess game that maybe. You could like have play. Your games publicly Possibly. Viewed.
So let's jump into the topic though. And it was my turn to pick this topic.
We do turns. If you don't know, guys, we do turns.
We do turns because that way it gives a sense of responsibility on what the topic is and whose turn it is to make sure that we have a topic coming in to the night.
When we first started, it was just we both kind of did it. And right. So basically that meant none of us did it. Neither right. of us did it. So, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. I thought you'd have something.
Yeah.
No, I thought you would.
Let's just wing it. And that didn't work out well.
What are we going to do?
I had a hard time struggling with this topic because I had another topic that I thought, but I wasn't convinced.
You changed it.
I changed it at the last minute. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Holy Family because we just had the Feast of the Holy Family. But in particular, I wanted to talk about St. Joseph.
I love the readings.
Oh, my goodness. About Cyrac? Okay, yeah.
Cyrac?
Yeah.
Is that what? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was Cyrac.
Cyrac, yeah.
Okay,
Cyrac. Yeah, I guess it's Cyrac.
Could be either one. But yeah, just talking about honoring your father. If he who honors his father, his prayers will be heard.
Yeah, go to, yeah, it's Cyrac 3:3. Whoever honors his father atones for sins.
Booyah.
So whoever honors his father will be gladdened by his own children, and when he prays, he will be heard.
Yeah.
So
that is... You know, there's a lot of devotions that people do and take up because of the promises associated with them, like mm-hmm. the first Fridays and the first Saturdays, mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff. But none of them are official church I mean, it's like they're all private devotions. Right. They're not big capital T traditions.
Correct.
What you just read
is it? Yes.
Is the word of God.
That's correct. It's been interesting about the liturgical calendar recently. My grandma brought this up to me, so I can't take credit for it. But it's,
I have a feeling what you're about to say is wise.
But it is really good. I really liked it. Right after Christmas, the Feast of Saint Stephen happened.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And then right after Saint Stephen was Saint John the Apostle. Correct? And then right after yes. that was the Holy Innocents. And my grandmother told me, it was very interesting. She said, you know, Saint Stephen had the will of a martyr and was martyred. Mm-hmm. St. John had the will of a martyr, but was not martyred. Mm-hmm. The Holy Innocents did not have the will of a martyr, but died for the sake of Christ. Mm-hmm. 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 And then we went into the Holy Family who had the complete will of God.
Booyah.
So, I mean, I never realized, I never put those, you know, I never made those connections. Did you? Have you ever heard of that?
No. Uh-uh.
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
I knew it was going to be wise.
So I wanted to jump into the Holy Family specific to St. Joseph because I don't feel like that we talk about St. Joseph enough.
That's true in general. It's because it's tough. It's hard to know things about him.
Because he didn't say a whole lot.
Yeah. And there is stuff like the Proto-Evangelium of James has a lot about him, but there's a lot of dispute, you know, in the academic community on whether or not it's real or, you know, whether it's an accurate account. And it does seem like there may be some exaggerations in it, but at least there's some stuff in there about him that,
right?
You know, that, and some interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Like James, was Jesus's literal older brother, according to that.
Yes.
That's where the tradition comes from, that Joseph was older
and
that had was a widower, had a son. Mm-hmm. And so in that account, Jesus is actually taught a lot of carpentry. James is the one teaching him a lot day to day about how to be a good carpenter.
Which was interesting because when we were talking with Patrick Coffin earlier, he was telling us that, you know, if you've actually been to the Holy Land, there's not a lot of trees there. So actually they were actually probably carving stone. And not wood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
I forget what the word that they is and whatever, right. But it doesn't necessarily mean woodworker, but it could be stoneworker.
Right.
But there one just I'm sorry, I know no, we no, have no. a topic. This yeah, is just yeah. one biblical evidence for this particular tradition about Joseph being older and that James being Jesus' literal older brother. In the Bible, Jesus goes out into the desert 40 days to fast and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes back and there's this one out of nowhere verse that talks about Jesus kind of like going crazy. It says that he's going crazy and shouting and yelling and that the apostles are like, what the heck is he doing? You know, he's making a scene and he's like kind of, nobody really knows, he's not making any sense. Mm-hmm. And then James rebukes him and tells him to be quiet and stop doing that. And so that is one biblical evidence to support the theory of Joseph being older and that James was his older brother, because the only way that this would have been socially acceptable is if James was Jesus's elder brother. It's the only way it would have been.
Not from Mary.
But just from the family.
Right.
Right.
I think that's a clarification that needs.
Well, everybody knows it's not from Mary. Because the Bible is clear that Mary was a virgin until Jesus was born.
Yeah.
And then some people go off track from there. But anyway, whether you believe that or not, I'm not sure I necessarily ascribe to just Joseph being a widower. I don't really know. Don't really care, actually. Joseph's the man either way.
He is. It's very interesting. I think we can all relate. At least I know I can relate, and I think that you can relate as well to St. Joseph in the fact of both of our wives are very holy women. You know, they continue to, at least my wife continues to wow me every day with what she does and how she pushes me and just herself in the pursuit of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to feel like that Joseph felt the same way, obviously, with the virgin the virgin mother, you know, with Mary.
Totally, man.
He had to feel like that, wow, this woman is something else. I have a feeling probably a lot like what you and I feel like whenever we're talking with our wives, realizing, this is a very special woman.
All the time.
But yet, regardless of that, God took appreciated the natural order of the family and made Joseph the head of the family. And if merit and grace were the platform of which the person is the head of the family, then Joseph would be at the very bottom of the Holy Family, because it would be Jesus and Mary and then Joseph.
Yeah.
Yet
the hierarchy would get flipped around.
Right. Yet it's flip-flop. It's flop-flipped.
From what it would have been otherwise.
Right. From what it would have been otherwise.
It is the way it is now.
And Joseph is the head of the family.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men can relate to that, because I think that holiness and the pursuit of holiness comes maybe more naturally to women, just from their intuitiveness and their they react in intuitiveness, like I said, and just in necessity. And yet men tend to react more into calculable acts and not necessarily because of it's the right, you know, it's the holy thing to do, but it's just the right thing to do. So I think that a lot of women receive a lot. You know, I think it's Some saints have said that women receive more graces than men on a natural level.
Well, sure, because they're naturally receptive.
Exactly. And the men are more focused on just achieving tasks.
Right.
So I think that we can all learn from that and realize that even though women have maybe more intuitiveness of being holy, we're still ahead of the family. We still have a role in the family.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, I think it makes perfect sense. And I think it's crucial that in the Holy Family, the order of authority was really flipped around. Because Joseph, sure, he's the head of the household, but he doesn't have more authority than Jesus.
Right. Yet he's still, like, yet the both the mother and Jesus still obeyed what he had to say.
Right.
And when we get back, I want to talk about that because there has to be some things that Joseph was freaking out about that I think we could probably learn from. So anyway, we'll get back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. If you've ever wondered yourself, I wonder how you say cheers to Jesus in Latin. Iubentium Jesu. Iubentium Jesu. Cheers to Jesus.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So anyway, we were just talking right before the break about authority, Joseph, Mary, Jesus.
Yes.
And, you know, Joseph sitting there, he's the leader, but he, at the end of the day, he does not have more authority than Mary and Jesus. Jesus is God. He has more authority.
Right.
He is authority.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think he had to be a nervous wreck at times.
Totally.
But yet he was a just man and always wanted the will of God. And so I think that that's something that we can learn from. But let's unpack this a little bit from scripture of what St. Joseph had to be able to be ready to be uncomfortable over and over, time and time again. And as Christians, we have to be ready to be uncomfortable. The whole sign of the Christianity is the cross,
yeah,
which is a torture device.
Yeah.
And if we're to follow Christ, we're supposed to pick up our cross and follow him daily. So we have to be ready to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I don't like my crosses.
Right.
Okay.
I want somebody else's crosses that look a lot better than mine.
No, I just want somebody else to have the one I got. I mean, but that's the truth.
I think that it's very interesting that if we look at scripture, we have to see time and time again that Joseph goes outside of his comfort zone or like his game plan. Guys in general have, like, at least I do, I have this game plan set for whatever happens through the day or whatever happens for the week or the month or like how our family is going to react.
I'm totally that way, dude. And I have like expectations.
Right. And if things don't go that way, I'm like, I think, what's going on? Why is this not happening the way that I had planned it? How do we reorient ourselves back to this goal that I had originally planned?
This is happening. This is like my daily, my family life. Like, I'm always doing this to Pamela. If my, you know, just like my expectations aren't managed well or something, you know, if, oh, I think we're going to do this. And it, that's not what I thought we was going to, I kind of like, you know, it starts to like ruin my day. And it's so, and then I'll, like, the next day, I think to myself, I am such an idiot.
Right.
You know, that was like a tiny thing. And I let myself get in this bad mood about it. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm such an idiot because what actually happened was ended up being such a blessing
sure.
that it happened.
Sure. And I was in a terrible mood even still.
Right. So let's review four things really fast. I'm going to bullet point them really fast and then I want to get your thoughts on them.
Okay. I'll try to have some.
Okay. You may not, but it'll be a short segment. Okay. So Joseph got betrothed to a woman who ended up getting pregnant.
Yeah.
A big scandal.
Yeah.
At that point in time.
Shady.
Had to leave his homeland to go to Egypt and wait for another revelation. He had a revelation that said, you need to leave your hometown with your wife who is pregnant, and you just have to wait until I say something else.
Yeah.
As a man, that would absolutely, at least for me, that would absolutely drive me insane. Like, I want to know, when I get over here to Egypt, what are you going to do? When do I, how long do I have to stay? Yeah. When can I come back?
Yeah, what's the plan?
He couldn't find an inn when Mary was pregnant. That would absolutely, can you imagine, our wives have both had children, you know, we have children. Could you imagine going to the hospital? Everything has been planned. And we get to the hospital and the hospital says, we don't have any more rooms. You gotta go find somewhere else.
What do you mean you don't have any more rooms? This is the hospital.
Right. But he had no more inns.
Yeah.
He had to go to a manger. I've always thought, how crazy
would... A stable.
I'm sorry. Yes, a stable.
Yeah, but there was a manger. You're right.
Which leads to me, I've always thought, I wonder who the guy was who made that manger. I wonder if he ever thought...
No way, dude.
No way he would have thought that.
I can answer that. No, he did not. Unless, of course, like, God told him, like, hey, you better build that manger good.
Which means that throughout your day, regardless of what you do, you should always do it to the best of your ability.
Totes, man. Totes. You never know when God's going to be in your, like, side table or something.
So he heard both from his wife, heard both that his wife and his son was going to suffer greatly, and yet he could do nothing about it.
Yeah.
That would be another, like, physical or mental torture that I wouldn't, that would just eat me alive.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, those are just four examples that...
Okay, here's my thoughts. Four things. Number one, marrying some chick. According to, I don't mean to keep bringing this up because it's not divine revelation, but the Proto-Evangelium of James indicates that Joseph didn't really want to marry Mary because he didn't see himself worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Of being the guardian of such a pure... This said that Mary, like people who knew her, when people around her knew, like you could just tell, like she needs to be protected. You know, like Mary is special.
Right.
And so he just like, no, I can't do that. Like, but I'm not the guy for that. So anyway, then when she's pregnant, he didn't want to marry her anyway. And now she's pregnant and like, I don't, what the heck?
Right.
You know,
but you know what?
Big deal.
Joseph was an ordinary man that God called to be great.
Yeah.
And he answered that call.
Yeah. He was ordinary in the sense he was, you know, made just like the rest of us, but was extraordinary in virtue, as we're all called to be.
As we're all called to be.
Right, yeah. So then with the whole Egypt thing, yeah, that's what I think. Like, I don't want to go to Egypt.
Right.
I'm not Egyptian. And I don't know, but I would guess that the Hebrews probably didn't want to go there. Like, remember that one time that we went there
and
we didn't leave for like a thousand years or something?
Yeah.
I'm not going,
a lot of us died out in the desert. There.
Right. Yeah. And like Moses had to come to get us out.
Right.
And you want me to go back there?
Right.
Egypt sucks.
Yeah.
That's what I think that they said.
But could you imagine? I mean, the faith that a man would have to say, okay, I received this vision or I received
a dream.
Which I think that's why all men should sleep a lot, because apparently that's how God talks to men.
It's a Josephite meditation is what it is.
Josephite meditation. I love that. But to say, this is what happened. We need to go to his pregnant wife, carrying the Son of God.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I just think that would be crazy. And that's another thing is God didn't tell him, here's how long you're going to be there.
Yeah. That would drive me crazy. What are the details, God? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
When are the details going to show up? Because we're here in Egypt.
Right. Right.
What was the fourth one?
The third one was they couldn't find an inn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No inn. And I can just picture Mary going like, oh, Joseph, it's okay. It's okay. And if it was me, I'd be like, Mary, you know what? It's not okay.
Right. This isn't how we planned it.
Right. Stop it.
Right.
Mary, this is not okay.
Which is exactly what my wife and I do. You know, I'm like, no, this isn't the plan. She's like, it's okay. Let's just keep going.
You're about to have a baby.
Right.
And you're sitting here telling me it's okay. It's not okay.
I'm not crazy. You're crazy. and then the fourth thing, he had both heard that both Mary and Jesus was to suffer, and he wasn't.
Oh, man, that would drive me. That would. Oh, yeah. Not cool, bro.
No. But, you know. Men in general are fueled by respect, you know, knowing that his wife and his children respect them. Even if he messes up, you know, because we're all going to mess up. But knowing that, you know, if his wife and his children know that even if he does mess up, he's still wanting the best interest of the wife and children. He's doing it. Even if he messed up, he was doing it because he thought it was the best thing to do for the wife and the children.
Mm-hmm.
The respect that the wife and the children give to the father fuels him to continue being the head of the house, to be confident in making these decisions. So even if a man is less pious, less respected, less holy than maybe his wife, which is probably a lot of us, or his children. I mean, let's be honest, my children haven't committed mortal sin.
Yeah, mine either.
Even if that's the case.
But they are not perfect, let me tell you.
But even if that's the case, God ordained it that the father be the head of the household, and that he is the one who, with his wife and his children, get each other to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that if you're a wife right now listening, because there are some women who listen to the Catholic Man Show, there's some children who listen to the Catholic Man Show, some young men who listen to the Catholic Man Show. I think that if you're listening right now, I think that it's important to remember that it is, one, it's a commandment to honor your father and mother.
Yeah.
But you must, every family member has a specific duty to get the whole family to heaven. And you have to remember that the father is the leader, and he's moving you towards heaven. He's supposed to be pushing you towards holiness.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he's not, then you should challenge him.
Yeah, and you know, really,
when I say challenge him,
you should encourage
him.
Yeah, yeah. But the Holy Family, in some respects, is really the exception, not the rule. Mm-hmm. Because the rule about the father being the head is kind of like what we talked about last week, that the reason it's important that the father is the head is because respect for the father, your father, earthly father, will overflow into respect for your heavenly father. And that's really the important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says, like we said, you know, respect for your father. He who respects his father, his prayers are heard. Because if you respect your earthly father, you respect your heavenly father. And that's really the key. And obviously, you can't skip the earthly step. You can't say, well, right, like, forget my earthly father, I'll just respect the heavenly father.
Right.
No.
That's not how it works.
Homie, don't play that.
Right. And that's why that your family should see you physically praying, fasting, being present at the dinner table,
yeah,
living a liturgical life. I think that a lot of times as guys, we're like, we want to be quote unquote humble and not let them see us praying or fasting. And I think that's wrong, because your kids are going to,
they're
going to see that,
emulate what they see.
Right. So anyway, we ask for St. Joseph's intercession to be men of God. We ask for his intercession as terror of demons.
Happy New Year.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.